I am so excited to be able to have Pastor Dave, my dad, our founding pastor, come and bring the word. I feel so blessed as lead pastor of Radiant Life Church, and I feel blessed by following people like Ken and Don that we mentioned, and Pastor Dennis and Susie, and Dad and Mom that have been here since the beginning here, since 1980. And something that I love is there is no doubt, if you want to know the hardest working person I know, that is Pastor Dave. And he works all the time, tirelessly. In fact, I don't know if we really mentioned it, but if you didn't notice, when we came back from our 8-9 weeks off, Dad had painted this entire room. He had covered, reupholstered all of the sound panels in the room because once we painted the walls gray, the greenish color they were looked really bad, kind of like snot on the wall. So you know what Pastor Dave did? He said it came and said, "That looks horrible. Can I redo them and make them black?" I'm like, "Yes, please." But that's the kind of guy he is. He serves, doing hard work with his hands, but also in loving people and caring for people. If you didn't know, he is our network missions director for the Ohio Ministry Network and the 280 churches. Him and Mom, they serve tirelessly. In fact, I think in that role, I'm pretty sure Mom works 24/7, just about. And they love to serve. They love to see the gospel preached here. They love to see the power of the Holy Spirit poured out. And they love to see the gospel and the Holy Spirit poured out around the world.
Today, I want to talk about the Holy Spirit and power. How many of you need more power in your life? Did you get one of these on your way in? If you would like the sermon notes, if you didn't get one, slip up your hand. We'll have an usher bring you one. Yeah, we need a few down here. So, I need more power consistently, and I find that that power comes through the Holy Spirit. Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 1 and 2. I just don't have the power that I need to live the Christian life that God wants me to live. And so there's times that my spiritual juice runs short. Now, I have this cordless drill right here. I love this drill. And I do so many different things with it. When Pastor Chris talked about me painting the room and redoing the sound panels, he didn't mention I redid all of the lights. Those used to be incandescent lights. I took all those lights. I retrofitted them. I cut the center out of them. I put in LED lights. And every time we turned on the lights in the past, it sucked juice. It sucked 20,000 watts of power the second those lights came on. And as long as that was on, it was sucking that juice out. Well, we retrofitted them, and now it's 1,080 watts. So we can stay in church 20 times longer for the same amount of price. But it's about power. And my drill, I've found if I just run it and run it and run it, and I don't ultimately put the battery on the charger, it quits going. How many have ever been using a drill like this or a blower? I've got a blower that goes with it. I've got a grinder. I've got a saw. I've got all types of things that fit on the battery that goes on the charger. But if it's not getting charged, it will eventually run down and it'll quit doing what I need it to do. And God, the Holy Spirit, is like the charger for our lives. He empowers us and gives us more power for the times and for the situations that we find ourselves in. Let me ask you again, how many need more power? We all do. Let me ask you another question. How many want more power? Yes. Let me ask you another question. How many of you are willing to receive more power? For the next few minutes, I want to explain the empowering that the Holy Spirit makes available to us. Following Jesus' resurrection, the disciples began to understand what he had come to do. Up to that point, they really didn't grab a hold of the whole message. And all of a sudden, they realized he had to come, he had to live, he had to teach, he had to die, he had to be resurrected again so that we could have the forgiveness of our sins. And at that point, the sensible thing to do was for them to go tell everybody. And you know what Jesus said? Don't go. He said, I want you to stay in Jerusalem and to wait for what the Father has promised. He told them to wait to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Look at verses in Acts chapter 1, verses 4, 5, and 8. It says, gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you heard of from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. Now that they understood the message, they were not to go and tell it, but they were to tarry, they were to wait, they were to spend time praying and seeking for the power to go along with the message. They had no idea what they were going to be facing in the near future. When you begin to think about what the disciples encountered following these events in their lives, it's incredible. They had no idea that they were going to be standing before kings and judges. They were going to be standing in law courts. They had no idea that their very presence, them just showing up, riots would start occurring. How many think that'd be sort of interesting? You show up and a riot breaks out. You show up in another city and a riot breaks out. You show up in another, you know, do you have the power for that kind of stuff? They had no idea that some of them were actually going to be stoned for their faith in Christ Jesus. I have people ask me frequently, what do you think about the elections and what do you think about this? And what, the world is just going to go, you know, it's just going down, 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 down. Well, you know what? It has to go down before Jesus can come and take us up. And so get full of the Holy Spirit. They had no idea that they were going to be standing in front of crowds, literally thousands of people testifying to their faith and explaining what Jesus had come to do. They had no idea that they were going to be facing demon-possessed people without Jesus there to take care of the situation. Because up to this point, Jesus had been there and he'd taken care of all of these things. They didn't need this power. I think sometimes they wondered why he went away most nights and spent the night in prayer, and then he would come back in the morning full of the Holy Spirit. And so during that 3.5 years that they spent with Jesus, they really had only been spectators. They had been learners. They were watching the teacher teach, and there, once in a while he would say, you know, pass us food out. Gather this food up. That's about the sum total that we have of what they did. And now he's saying that they need power. You know what? If the Bible says that we need to be strong in the Lord, the implication is that there are times that we're not strong in the Lord. Ever been weak in the Lord? I have. And if this is true, we need Jesus' power, and that is what he has promised. Acts 1, verse 4, and gathering them together, he commanded them to wait for what the Father had promised. It's interesting to note that they were to wait for power. They weren't to wait for tongues. They weren't to wait for manifestations. They were to wait for power. And so in this prayer meeting, they don't know anything about tongues. They don't know anything about spiritual manifestations. All they know is Jesus said, you wait for the power to come on you. And then Acts, it tells us they got together, they have a prayer meeting, and something very supernatural happens. Acts 2 tells us of a powerful provisions that they found available to them and to us for waiting on the Holy Spirit. The first powerful provision of the Holy Spirit is power to speak miraculously. I'd like to read a passage of Scripture. It's a little bit longer than just a couple verses, but follow along. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They've been in this prayer meeting. They're waiting on the Lord, and this is what happens. Holy Spirit falls on them. They begin to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one of them was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each one of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and all the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying one to another, "What does this mean?" The passage here says that people heard the apostles speaking in tongues, and notice they were what they were speaking about. It centers on the declaration and the goodness and the mighty deeds of God. We hear them in our own tongues speaking the mighty deeds of God. See, there are instances when the tongue will be a heavenly tongue, and there are instances where it'll be an earthly tongue. Both will be a language that has not been learned by the speaker. When we were reading all those different names, the disciples are speaking the languages from there, and they had never learned those languages. It's something that supernaturally came upon them when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they start speaking and glorifying God, talking about His miraculous works, as the Holy Spirit is flowing through them, coming out and speaking that. And then the people that were around, they're saying, "Wow, I'm an Elamite, and he's speaking Elamite, and I understand what that means." Acts 2, verse 10 and following, they spoke in languages that were the languages of men that they did not naturally know. They didn't learn them. I know of church services where people have been near somebody, they were speaking in tongues, and they come up to them after the service and say, "Do you know that language?" "No, I was just praying in tongues." And they said, "That is a language from where I grew up. It's one that very few people know." You see, it's something that's powerful. It's miraculous. A couple times I've been here in the sanctuary, we've had prayer times, and I've had people that go to our church that have grown up in other parts of the world come up and say, "Pastor Dave, do you know what you were praying when you were praying in tongues up there?" I said, "No." They said, "That's a language from where I grew up, and you were talking about how wonderful God is. You were praising Him, and you were worshiping Him." So speaking in tongues may be a heavenly language that no one understands, in addition to languages of earth. 1 Corinthians calls this the tongues of angels. I talk about it as being heaven's native language. And this is when the Holy Spirit, through our spirit, is speaking to God on our behalf. When you're praying in tongues and you don't know what it is and nobody knows what it is, it's you worshiping God, and it's the Holy Spirit praying through you back to God. And you can't pray a better prayer than when you're praying that kind of prayer. And so when the Holy Spirit comes filling us up, there's this supernatural speech. It'll either be the languages of earth or it'll be a language of heaven. And He'll decide. How many know that you don't understand this because the Spirit is giving the utterance and you don't know what language is needed at that point? It may be somebody else who learned that language that you don't know that language. They need, or it may be a heavenly language. See, we're just like the speakers of our speaker system. Those speakers don't do anything but produce what's flowing through them. That's what we are as we pray in the Spirit. We're the speaker. We're speaking that thing out. And so the Holy Spirit provides power to speak miraculously. A second powerful provision of the Holy Spirit is power to attract people. It's a powerful, even to the point of drawing a crowd. If you look at Acts 2, verse 6, it says, "And the multitude came together." Certain events inevitably attract attention. Acts chapter 2 talks about attracting attention. Other New Testament passages indicate that where the Holy Spirit is, there are crowds that gather. You know what? I want to be so full of the Holy Spirit. I desire that you get so full of the Holy Spirit. We start attracting attention. 1900, the year. People had not been being baptized in the Holy Spirit to that point. And one night, all of a sudden, a group of students, they start studying the scripture. And they say, "I wonder what that means." They started praying over it, and they started speaking in tongues. It was the first time it had swept worldwide. In 1906, at Azusa Street in Los Angeles, people began to show up to see what was happening there because the Holy Spirit was being poured out again, and literally hundreds of people were being baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Thousands came for years to see that thing happen. The attraction continues today. And from that beginning in 1900 and 1906, I Googled this, I checked it on Wikipedia, and they're always right. Today, there are over 500 million Spirit-filled believers around the globe. If you ever get the feeling that you're the only person in the world, you're not the only person in the world. 500 million Spirit-filled believers around the world today. The Assemblies of God that this church is a part of, it began in 1914. There were 300 people that gathered in Hot Springs, Arkansas. Today, the Assemblies of God, 106 years later, has 67 million people worldwide. They're a part of the church that you're a part of. Pentecost is about attracting attention to God and His glory. You want to be an attractor. You want to attract people to Jesus. A third powerful provision of the Holy Spirit is power to withstand ridicule. When the multitude heard the early disciples speaking in strange languages, the reaction of some was ridicule, verse 13 of chapter 2. But others were mocking, saying, "They're full of sweet wine." Luke records for us the sermon of Peter on that day, and it's a direct response of being ridiculed, of being mocked, of being made fun of being called drunk. And verse 14 says, "But Peter, taking his stand with the 11, Peter, up to this point, had run in the face of persecution and ridicule. And after he had run from it, but after being filled with the Holy Spirit, he quickly countered that ridicule. He countered being made fun of with wisdom and truth. You know what? When my drill runs into resistance, if the battery isn't charged, it gets slower and slower and slower and ultimately quits. It needs a recharge. And when facing ridicule, I need the Holy Spirit to recharge me, to give me more spiritual power. I used to be made fun of in high school for being a Christian. I don't know about you, I don't like being made fun of. How many of you really love a good bout of people gathering around you and making fun of you? How many really like that? I'm looking for you so we can ridicule you. No. I don't like it. I don't like rejection. I don't like ridicule. But the Holy Spirit overcomes that. And Peter took his stand. Peter was never again a wimp. Never again did he sit at a fire and a little servant girl begins to say, "I think you're a Christian. Aren't you a follower of Jesus?" And he said, "Not me." And he began to curse and swear. Peter never again was a wimp. The Holy Spirit came on him and he had power to withstand ridicule. How many want that power? You want to be able to withstand ridicule. Fourth powerful provision of the Holy Spirit is power to be effective witnesses. In Acts chapter 2, verses 14 to 40, which we're not going to read, that would take too long. But it's about Peter witnessing to like 3,000 people at one time. He didn't know he was preaching a sermon. He just knew that he was going to talk about Jesus. He starts talking about Jesus. And the result is in verse 37, when they heard about this, that they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" The response to that question, "What shall we do?" They began to tell them what to do. And we see this power over and over again on Peter and others. It's seen when Peter and John went up to the temple to pray and full of the Holy Spirit, the man is healed. We see it when Peter and John are dragged before the Sanhedrin and they said, "We have to obey God rather than you." This power is seen in Stephen at the time of his martyrdom when the crowd drags him in and they say, "You're a follower of Jesus," and they get ready to stone him and he begins to talk about Jesus. Power is seen in Philip on a desert road as he witnessed to an Ethiopian eunuch. See, the Holy Spirit knows what people need to hear, and thus he knows what we need to say. And he will empower us to witness to the lost around us. How many want that power? You want the ability to witness to the lost around you, to let people know. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. I want to be an effective witness. And you know what happens when we're effective witnesses? The church starts to grow. Fifth powerful provision of the Holy Spirit is power to affect church growth. Because of the Holy Spirit's presence on the day of Pentecost, those who received Peter's word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 people. I pray for the day that this congregation has 3,000 people. Pastor Chris, you say two services is tough. You ain't seen nothing yet. Try about six on one weekend. And I believe that part of that Holy Spirit's anointing that comes on us is also the fact that the Holy Spirit, as he's anointing our lips, he's anointing the ears of the people who are hearing it. Luke 24, verse 32, it's about Jesus on the road to Emmaus walking with the two disciples. And it says, were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures? Jesus is anointed with the Holy Spirit. He's speaking the message, but it also causes anointing to be on those who are listening, and their hearts started burning within them. And I believe there's a supernatural effectiveness that happens as we speak that causes people to be able to comprehend and be able to receive. How many want to see the Church of Jesus Christ grow? We are currently growing faster than the birth rate, but that doesn't help the person that doesn't receive Jesus and they die in their sin. A sixth powerful provision of the Holy Spirit is power to perform miracles. One miracle was the supernatural speech. Another is seen in chapter 2, verse 43. And everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. Mark 16, it says that those who believe, these signs will accompany them. They're going to cast out demons. They're going to speak in new tongues. They're going to heal the sick. They're going to minister in a powerful way. How many of you would like to have miracles flow through your life? I trust you do. I don't want just an ordinary life. I want a life that every day I go out and I come back and say, I can't believe that happened. What an incredible day. A seventh and final powerful provision of the Holy Spirit is power to live a committed Christian life. See, after they received the power of the Spirit, they settled down to live their lives in their society. It was power to live a victorious Christian life. Following their experience with the Holy Spirit, it says in verses 42 to 47, they were devoted to learning, fellowship, breaking bread, prayer, worship, generosity, joy, and evangelism. This morning, I'd like to conclude the service. Would you stand with me? If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit and spoken in tongues, like Acts chapter 2 talks about, Acts chapter 8 talks about it, Acts chapter 10 talks about it, Acts chapter 19 talks about it, Paul in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, he talks about it. He says, I speak in tongues more than all of you put together. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit and you lifted your hand and said, I want more. I want more power. I'm willing. That's you today. Why don't you right now just begin to say, Lord, I want to be filled with your Holy Spirit. I want to be filled with your Holy Spirit. Those of you that have been filled with the Holy Spirit, I don't know about you, but there are times when, not many, but there are times when I don't effectively use this spiritual prayer gift that the Lord provides where I'm built up. Jude verse 20 says, praying in the Holy Spirit, building yourselves up in your most holy faith. When you're praying in tongues, you're building yourself up. And so, two things. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, why don't you right now begin to expect? Why don't you begin to say, Lord, come fill me. I need the power so that I can have those seven things that he just talked about. Resonant within me all the time. Power to withstand ridicule. Power to be a witness. Power to see the kingdom of heaven grow around me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, there's enough space up front and there's few enough of us. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and you're willing to do this, you can put on a mask if you want to, but would you come and put your feet against the front of the platform this morning? You want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit. You've never spoken in heaven's native language. You've never spoken in tongues. But you'd say, I want that. I want that gift. I want all those different results. Would you just step out right now? I know this takes a step of faith, but praying in the Spirit takes a step of faith. Would you just step out right now? Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, begin to pray in the Spirit now. Just begin to pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Those of you at your seats, I take it that you're full of the Spirit. I'll tell you what I do. When I start praying in the Spirit, it just starts growing and growing and growing and growing. People say, how can you pray for an hour? I don't know. I just start praying in the Spirit, and after a couple minutes, there's this dynamo that's going on. Come on. We're a Pentecostal church. If you didn't know that, sorry to disappoint you. We believe in the power of the Spirit. We believe that God wants to fill us with His Spirit. And so right now, receive. Right now, let Him flow through you. Let the Holy Spirit flow through you with worship and praise and adoration. Samba, ra, ra, bamba, bamba, koso, do, do, di, da, da, ba, ba. Thank you, Lord. We just ask for more of you today. We ask for more of you today. We long for more of you today. Oh, God, come fill us with your power that we can impact your world so that we can be the witnesses you want us to be. Morning, you don't receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, don't quit. You know, there's this afternoon and there's tomorrow and there's Wednesday. We've had people over the years get baptized in the Spirit, driving their car, taking showers, sitting at their desk at their break at work. You just hunger for God. You just wait on Him, wait before Him. Cry out for more of Him, and He'll bless you. And let me encourage you. Those of you that you have your heavenly prayer language, use it all the time. Use it all the time. I have to work at not speaking to people in tongues in the park as I run by them, because I'm praying in the Spirit. And, oh, I better speak English to those people. Unless the Lord tells you, you just keep on doing it. See, we don't think about it, but this is the most important part of the whole deal. If you don't have the charger, that thing's worthless. It's a good doorstop, but not for anything else. You got to charge yourself up every day in the Holy Spirit, praying in the Holy Spirit. Speak to one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart. Pray in the Spirit. Thanks, Pastor Chris, for letting me preach.
Thank you, Pastor Dave. Awesome. I couldn't agree more. Let's go after Jesus. If you're filled with the Spirit, could you this afternoon and tonight, could you ask Him, Lord, keep charging, keep filling. Can you do that tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day? And if you are not yet, whether you came to the front or not, would you do the same? Would you ask Him, Lord, would you give me more? Would you give me more? He's going to take you to crazy places in His Spirit. And that's where I want to be. I don't want to be in the comfortable, but where He has. So thank you so much for being here today. Thank you, Pastor Dave, for bringing us the Word. And we just love you and are so thankful for a church that loves Jesus, that goes after Him, that seeks the Spirit, and that wants to do life together. And that's what it's all about. So be careful what you watch. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful what you talk about. Savor the presence of Jesus. Have a good week.